Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 163 on August 22nd, 2017. Changing the world, one ass at a time. If you enjoy and appreciate my work and you want to help me spread the word about pegging, consider becoming a patron of mine so that I can spend more time doing podcasts, answering questions, writing articles, and recording videos for all you people out there interested in pegging everywhere in the world. Patreon.com/RubyRider, or you can click the Support My Work button on the right-hand side of my website. Remember, an extraordinary and carefully curated selection of body-safe, non-toxic toys can be purchased from the Little Black Dress of Pleasure products, Entice Me. Just go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider, and be sure to use the coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. That's RYDER. You will be supporting Pegging Paradise with every purchase you make. Okay, a couple of bits of news about Patreon. For you who are my patrons, you know about this. Here's what happened. So when I first started with Patreon, I took a good long look at their fair use policy, their, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Because let's face it, people, I deal with adult subject matter here, right? And I wanted to make sure it was okay. Especially because one of the payment processors through Patreon is PayPal. So here's the deal. It said something about, you know, some of the best art in the world has nude pictures, nude paintings, you know, nakedness and stuff and sex sometimes. And we recognize that this is art, but please use good judgment and just don't put porn up there. And I thought, okay, that's fair enough. So I, as you know, put a picture with just about every blog post I put, and all of those blog posts get duplicated onto Patreon. So I got a little relaxed about it, I have to tell you, especially during masturbation month in May. And then again, recently I found this totally hot clip of a couple pegging. And is it a porn clip? Absolutely, it's a porn clip. So I put the link to it and it embedded it right there on the Patreon site. And, you know, everything was still fine because nobody was really looking at all of that until I had an issue editing one particular post. I couldn't figure out why I couldn't edit it, so I asked for their help. It must have been just a glitch in program or something like that as far as the editing problem, because that just resolved itself. The Patreon person that came and looked at my Patreon site saw all the porn stuff. And when I say porn stuff, there was that clip and then there was a picture of someone masturbating every single day in May practically, except for when I fell off the wagon and missed the last couple of days. Anyway, yeah, I got a little bit too relaxed. And so they sent me a letter. It was very kind of them to send me a letter and basically say, yeah, you got some stuff on there that's not okay. And no porn and no pictures of masturbation and no pictures of playing with vaginas. And I'm going to read you exactly what was in the email that they sent to me because I found it rather curious and you'll see why. So here's what it said. We wanted to let you know that some complaints were brought forward to our trust and safety team about content on your account. We've investigated your account and found that you have content that is pornographic in nature. While a lot of your work might fall into the gray area of erotic, this type of content is in direct violation of our guidelines and our terms of service. Some of the world's most beautiful and historically significant art often depicts nudity and sexual expression. However, Patreon is not for porn. Because of that, we allow nudity and suggestive imagery as long as it's marked adult content. Think of the policy as allowing R-rated movies, but not porn. And as an aside here in the middle of the letter, I am absolutely marked adult content, which is why if you just go to Patreon and search for Ruby Rider, you will find nothing because you have to have the link to get there. And I totally get that. So going on with the letter, here's what they say. For this reason, as a one-time exception, please remove all videos and photos that depict penetration or masturbation. Please make these changes within 24 hours. A few reminders. You cannot post pornographic material on your Patreon page. This includes any penetration, masturbation, and vagina play. You cannot send pornographic rewards through Patreon messaging or posts. You cannot fund pornographic content with Patreon funds. Confirm receipt of this email by replying once the posts have been removed. Thank you for understanding. Regards, Patreon Trust and Safety. So, you know, I got to give it to them because instead of just kicking me off of Patreon, which they certainly could have done, they gave me a chance to remedy the situation, which was awesome. But the thing that I found curious, which may have perked up your ears, was any vagina play. You cannot post pornographic material on your Patreon page. This includes any penetration, masturbation, and vagina play. So, you know, penetration, all of those luscious pictures of the strap-on stuff happening. Now there will be a link to the photo. So the photos will still be there. You'll just have to click into them because I host the pictures on my WordPress blog. And then I use that URL to provide you with the pictures. So I can't post them up directly if the guy is actually getting fucked. I can post lovely pictures of women wearing strap-ons. I can post pictures of women wearing strap-ons next to men that are not being penetrated. But yeah, you get the point. And you know, as much as I really don't like censorship, I totally get this. And I don't want you to take it that Patreon is a pain in the ass, because Patreon had a long conversation with PayPal about accepting payments. PayPal censors a lot. PayPal is beholden to the big banks, and the big banks are the ones that fuck with everyone here. So it's the big banks that basically say what is pornographic and what is not, what is adult content and what is not. And in the fair use policy for PayPal, it directly says right there, no adult content, no memberships for adult content, no all kinds of things, right? So there's a whole bunch of people out there violating fair use policy with PayPal, and every once in a while they track us down and freeze our accounts. So this is why I'm making the transition over to Patreon. I discussed this with them when I signed up with Patreon, and they said nope, that they had a long talk with PayPal about it, and PayPal said, okay, we're going to go ahead and take your payments with the understanding that you're going to make sure there's no pornography on here. So they do have a wider berth. It's not like they're selling porn. It's not like they're selling adult material. It's just that some of the art or creative things that are produced on Patreon are adult material, like me. Or some of the subject matter is adult material, like me. So there you have it. So I spent all of my last Monday, pretty much all day, modifying everything, putting links for the pictures, cleaning up Patreon, and they were very sweet about it and said, thank you very much, it looks lovely, and I thanked them for the opportunity to clean it up and stay on Patreon and said that I will keep their rules at the forefront of my mind moving forward. So there you have it. But if you're going to blame anybody and talk trash about things, it would be PayPal and it would be the big banks, because that is who censors. And I could go on and on about this, but I actually took a class a long time ago in the very first Catalyst Con I ever went to, and there was a couple who produced porn movies. And right before they go to this convention where they are going to be vendors and sell their videos at this convention, their account was frozen, and they had to go through this whole thing of requalifying and having the bank, you know, look at their website, and it's just a freaking pain in the ass. What's very sad about this is that there is such a sex negativity thing happening in our society, in this country. I had to go out and ask the people who were out by the pool to turn the music down. You could probably hear it in the background, and you could probably even maybe hear what song was playing. So, sorry for the background noise, but every once in a while on the ranch here, it gets a little bit noisy. Okay, to continue. And the whole puritanical roots of this country and all that stuff, that there is quite a bit of censoring. And basically it has to do with the payment processors really sticking it to people for adult material. What they claim is that there's more fraud with adult material, and so they have to charge a higher price. But that's fucking bullshit, because they don't have to double and triple the percentage that they are taking from their customers. So in other words, if I normally pay a 6% fee for a transaction to be processed, I would pay 12% or 14% from the banks that do solely adult material. Like, because, you know, there are payment processors who handle all those things. And I can't remember the name of them. But anyway, I'm getting way off track here. I wanted to tell you my Patreon story, and now I'm ranting about censoring from the big banks. So let me just play this little music for the big banks today, and then I'll feel better and we can get to your letters.
Ruby Riders, Pegging Paradise.
Free your ass, your mind.
I feel better now. And by the way, I'm absolutely going to put a link to that Totally Hot pegging video. And speaking of totally hot links to pegging videos, here's what's happening on the forum. I know that we all like to look at these hot videos, or at least a lot of us do. So I have created two threads on the forum on peggingparadise.com. One is for posting links to sensual pegging clips, and the other is for posting links to more BDSM or fetishy, kinky ones, links to video clips, okay? So please play by the rules there. If you want to put a few words about what the link is about or what you like the best about it, what the clip is about, that's awesome. If you don't, that's fine. Just please make sure that any links that you post in the sensual pegging area are indeed sensual pegging without a whole bunch of spanking or beating or tying up or, you know, the stuff, the kinky stuff, okay? That it is pretty sensual. So there you go. Enjoy those and please feel free to contribute to them. It's kind of cool to have a place where you can just go click on a bunch of links and watch some cool videos. So please feel free to add to it. I do ask that if you are a professional and you are marketing these clips, do not post them here. You have your own website, I'm sure, to post them. So I don't want this to be an opportunity for marketing on my website, through my website. I just want this to be a collection of links of cool videos. And of course, you know, the websites that this takes you to, like XHamster or Pornhub or things like that, might have some marketing happening. But be judicious, people, and watch that, because then we can have the nice things. So, okay, let's get to your letters. Good evening. I was wondering if you would be so kind as to answer one question for me, but I shall first offer a little backstory so that it's mutually beneficial. I will start by saying that after our last messages a couple of months ago, my girlfriend and I were both very excited to see where things took us. We do not live nearby, so we only see each other about once a month. Shortly after our last message exchange, we had a trip booked in a cabin, and we decided, since we had 4 days to work with, that this would be the perfect time to attempt a pegging experience. The two of us have an inside joke. The first time we spent the night with each other, I woke up in the morning to have her beside me. She asked me what time it was. I told her it was time to fuck, and we proceeded to enjoy our first moments of the day together, going at it rabbit style. Since then, we've always had the joke of time to fuck. We decided that during this trip, if and when she decided the time was right, she would tell me it was time to fuck, and that if I agreed, I would oblige with her strap-on that she had carefully selected for our trip. Long story short, the second night she decided it was time to fuck, just after an evening shower, and I could not have been more thrilled. She started with one finger, then two, then she moved to insert the strap-on, and were thinking it was probably too soon because it felt extremely uncomfortable as she put it inside of me, and sadly, we both kind of chickened out and didn't try the rest of the trip. We both have regrets that we didn't try again, but we obviously immensely enjoyed the rest of our time together. Our last trip was about a month ago, and while she didn't bring her strap on, she did have her fingers with her, obvious, I suppose, and she gave me one of the best blowjobs I have ever had, one of our nights together, using two fingers with plenty of lube. I believe that makes three times in the past year that she has bestowed this special gift upon me. Which brings me to present day and our next trip, which is scheduled for Labor Day weekend. I recently had a massage, and afterwards I told her all I could think about while lying on the table face down was when we had unsuccessfully tried the pegging before, and how bummed I was that it didn't go as planned, but how badly I wanted to try it again. And she is all about it. So in about 3 weeks, we plan to try again. And here is where my question comes in. In your experience, knowing that every person in situation is different, can you at least say if one position over others has a higher probability of comfort and success, assuming all else is done right? Okay, so the letter's not done, but I'm going to stop and answer that question. You know, usually with brand new anal play people who are brand new to it, I suggest that the guy is face down over a couple of pillows, mostly so that he can totally relax. There are other positions, perhaps, but that one, you can just lay there and totally relax and have her play with your ass. So that's the one that I recommend for the best relaxation, unless you happen to have a sex swing hanging around your house, and that it can be very, very relaxing as well. So that would be the position I would recommend. And then, let's see, the letter goes on to say, we already have a few changes to make this time around. One, more time playing with fingers leading up to the strap-on. Two, more foreplay in general and time to be more intimate before even fingers begin. And three, lots of lube again, and then lots more. Ha ha. Okay, and again, I'm going to interject in the letter and say, these are awesome. Yes, more time playing. You know, I'm going to put a link to the article, The First Time Take It Slow, and also the link to the first exploration for couples who are newbies to anal play. That article is written from the perspective of the woman exploring the man's ass for the first time, and it's like a couples play thing. It's very sweet. And so I'm going to put a link to those two things so you can take a good look at them. When I say go slow, I really mean go slow. I mean like, have a half an hour where you are teasing and playing and maybe flip him over unexpectedly and give him a blowjob and then flip him back over and play with his ass and then maybe kiss him for a while and don't touch his ass or his cock. And, you know, there you go. You can do all kinds of things, but I heartily agree with more foreplay in general and more time to be intimate before even the fingers begin. Lots of lube. All of these sound great. Okay, so here's another way to look at this. Here's another suggestion. You are kind of acting like you're assuming, you are both assuming, that it's her responsibility to play with your ass and open you up. Well, in the moment, yes, when you're getting ready to do pegging, absolutely. Initial exploration as a couple, absolutely. But you know, there's solo play, dude. There is absolutely solo play. And the thing is that if you get used to playing with your own ass, then it is much more comfortable, relaxed, and less anxiety when you two play together. Because if you've already explored that area, if you know that you can take things of a certain size, if you can take certain toys, maybe even a dildo that you bought for the strap-on, then when you two get together and do it, there's no freaking out about, oh my God, is it going to hurt again? Is it going to be uncomfortable? Is it going to be like, ah? And so it's much easier to relax because you know you've taken that particular toy up your ass that she has in her hand. So it's just a matter of taking it slow enough and getting enough lube at that point. And it's easier to do once you've already done it. Once you've already know kind of how to relax those muscles, the muscles that you really need to relax are the ones that you can feel relaxing when you sit down and take a dump. Seriously, there is a muscle that needs to relax to allow that to happen. So that's the muscle that gets sort of trained to do that when you receive anal stimulation. And people who receive anal stimulation, even sometimes when they think about it, that muscle will automatically start to let go. And that's the muscle that pulls everything to the side to keep the rectal canal and the anus at a 90-degree angle so that nothing could come out. So a little bit of physiology there. But consider it. Consider doing some of your own play. I think that's a fabulous idea. So your letter goes on to say, I have read everything I could find that you've written, and it didn't seem you had ever discussed positional probabilities. Yeah, I think I may have in a couple of my podcasts, but I don't think that I wrote that. I think that I had a suggested position in the article for newbie couples who are exploring anal. Let's see, and he goes on to say, I can tell you that my preference would be something that allows us to kiss while it happens, because when she and I practice anal sex frequently with me as the giver, there is nothing we both like more than kissing and seeing each other as it happens. Last time we tried with me on my belly on the bed because we thought it seemed most relaxed, so we're open to anything you may be kind enough to suggest, but I was just throwing in my two cents on preference. And then he closes and says, and so that it doesn't go unsaid, I sincerely thank you a million times if you have read this far, and it would be so gracious for you to consider a response to my question. Of course, if I have left out any important details, I will happily fill in the holes, pun intended. And this is from Ben. Ben, thank you so much for these questions and for approaching this so thoughtfully. I'm kind of sad for you guys, and you were too, clearly, that it didn't go well the first time, but sometimes it doesn't go well the first time, and it's really okay. And that just means you need to kind of explore what didn't work right, change it up, which is exactly what you're doing. So when I recommended the position, I hadn't read far enough in the letter about the face down. Clearly that one you have tried. If you really like being face to face and being able to kiss, then missionary is a possibility, but you really do want to get a cushion of some sort that is sturdy enough to prop your ass up so that it is easier for her to access. That's one of the things that it's important for you to have, because missionary is not so easy for some women, for a lot of women in the very beginning. One of the things that it does depend on is how long your girlfriend is from knee to hip. I have mentioned before that I am very, very long right there, so for me, missionary is quite difficult unless I've got a good size sex cushion and got the guy up on it, or a couple of pillows, and even a couple of pillows isn't really satisfactory because inevitably they kind of fall down a little bit and the holding him up doesn't work as well as it could if I had one of those lovely Liberator cushions, which again I will put the link to. So that's a possibility. Seeing each other is one thing. Kissing is very dependent on your body sizes, because it depends on how long your torsos are as well. If she has a really short torso in comparison to you, if she's fucking you missionary style, you probably are not going to be able to kiss unless you're curled up into a little ball going towards her, which is definitely not relaxing. But if you just want a visual and you want to be able to see each other, which I think is just all out sexy and really intimate, and yes, I love, love, love to see the expressions on a man's face when I fuck him. You can also try cowboy, which is exactly the same as you would think it is. It's like cowgirl, but you're on top. So she's laying on her back, she's nice and comfortable, and you are on top. That is for your first time actually pegging. In terms of anal exploration, you know, it probably would be fine if you want to do the missionary position and her fingers could be exploring you and she could be to the side of you kissing you. So yeah, if that means a lot to you, the kissing and the looking at each other, then try that. And you wouldn't even necessarily need a cushion. You just bend your knees and her hand is down underneath and she might be able to reach over and kiss you at the same time. Those are the best suggestions I have off the top of my head. So I hope things go swimmingly the next time. And I can't wait to hear back because I am anxious to play the music for you too. Good luck. Okay, I got a couple of responses to the young man who was wondering where he could hide his toys because he had nosy roommates and no privacy. That was on podcast number 161. And let's see, here is one response. It's starting to be a little anachronistic for many people, but if you can pull it off, a locking attaché case or briefcase is inconspicuous, often has a combination lock so no keys to manage, and is small and easy to move around. Another option is a locking two-drawer file cabinet that will also help you to keep your personal papers away from prying eyes. And I have another one that was posted on the forum. Listen to podcast number 161, and some ideas that I found to hide toys from prying eyes was to invest in a good diversion safe. The fake encyclopedia has a large interior for toys, and it can be locked to keep sticky fingers out. The air vent diversion safe is a great option if you own your home. The fake potted plant also has a large storage area. There are also a number of pieces of furniture like end tables, coffee tables, and floor mirrors that have built-in safes. There are a ton of options out there if people are willing to spend some time searching the web. So this person actually listened to podcast number 162, and I don't think got the original podcast number 161, because it was clear to me at 161 that this man who was looking for some ideas had roommates and was a young man. So spending lots of money is probably not on the table. Buying expensive pieces of furniture, probably not on the table. But thank you for the suggestions nonetheless, because I'm sure there's people out there listening who are very interested in these options as well. Perhaps have the in-laws over, you know, to spend a week with them and take care of the grandkids while they are off to work, and they want to make damn sure that mom and dad or in-law mom and dad do not find the toy stash. So these are some good suggestions. This person in the forum put up a link to a thing called the Home Security Superstore. And I imagine the Home Security Superstore is going to be pretty surprised if they check their Google Analytics to see people clicking in through Pegging Paradise. But oh well, we all need to hide something, right? And so some of us are interested in hiding the sex toys. So there's a bunch of stuff in there. And it does look kind of expensive, so I think if I was going to be buying these things, I really don't have to hide the toys in my house. I would be looking at some of the things, and then I'd be going to Amazon trying to find a cheaper version of it, perhaps. Anyway, great ideas. Thank you so much for the contribution. And Guy from 161, I hope you have a whole bunch of ideas at this point, and you are successfully able to hide your sex toys from your nosy roommates. Okay, next letter. This was an email I received through Pegging Paradise website. I just found out my boyfriend has a fetish for she-males. He says he likes the hot, sexy ones with boobs, but likes that little extra thing, the dick. He had sex with one who told me he also had sex with three other she-males who are friends with her as well, and he failed to tell me this. He asked me if I would have a threesome with one that he thinks is hot. He told me he does not like men, though. I got a little upset when I saw the she-male he had sex with is gorgeous. Help me figure this one out, please. I'm sorry to hear you're going through a difficult situation like this. First, let me give you some information about the term she-male. And I am reading this from a wiki. The term she-male is a derogatory term that refers to trans women, which is male-to-female, transgender, or transsexual people, who typically have breasts of an adult female through hormone replacement therapy and or through breast augmentation surgery, and who usually have other female secondary sex characteristics, but who have not undergone genital reassignment surgery. However, other trans women never undergo genital reassignment surgery, even if they can afford it, or come to accept their genitalia because they consider the surgery to be unnecessary for their individual gender transition. Some trans women have said they prefer the genitalia with which they were born. The term she-male, along with tranny, ladyboy, and chick with a dick, are commonly but not exclusively used in pornography and the sex industry. Videos and magazines involving such people are a common subgenre of pornography. It is often seen by transsexual people as a powerful term of abuse. Many trans women are offended by this term for one or more of the following reasons: because of the word's hateful connotation, because of the association with the sex industry like pornography, escorting, and sex party scenes, because many trans women who have not undergone genital reassignment surgery want it, and because their gender identity is female, not male, nor do they feel they are only half female. So that's just a little bit of education stuff for you, so let's move on to your questions and your situation. I'm not sure how much communication you have had with your boyfriend about this. It sounds like you got pretty surprised about it. So what I'm wondering is, what have you two agreed upon? Do you have a relationship where threesomes are okay? Do you have an open relationship? Do you have a relationship where he can go off and fuck someone else and not tell you? And did he do that? And is he now confessing to it? See, I have a whole bunch of questions. Seems like there's a lot of communication that needs to happen between the two of you as to what is acceptable and what is not. And if the reason that you don't want to have anything to do with a threesome with a gorgeous trans woman is because you feel uncomfortable because she's so gorgeous and it feels threatening to you and you're not sure what it would do to your relationship, that's a perfectly valid reason to say no. It's really important for you to sit down apart from him first and figure out how you feel about this. having a fetish for it and watching that kind of porn and jerking off to it and getting excited about it is one thing. Going off and actually fucking other people is something else. Wanting those other people to come and have a threesome with you is also something else entirely. So you need to figure out where you stand on those fronts and have a communication with your boyfriend regarding what your boundaries are, what your desires are. So that part is up to you. I can pretty much reassure you, as far as the majority of men who are interested in trans women pornography, most of them are straight. It's such an interesting phenomenon that the trans women or shemale, as you called it, porn is very, very, very popular. So they had some theories about that. It's like, well, you've kind of got the best of both worlds because men are kind of fascinated by dicks. And you will find exceptions to what I'm saying all over the place. There are some men who want to see pegging, but they don't ever want to see much about the guy. They don't want to see his dick. They don't want to see him playing with his dick. They don't want to see him come. But there's a lot of men out there who really do like to see dicks. They're kind of fascinated by them. So you've got the best of both worlds. You've got the beautiful body of a woman, which they are very attracted to because in essence they are straight, and then you've got the dick. So yeah, there you go. That is the theory about why it appeals to so many men. The men that it appeals to, absolutely, he could be fascinated by this, have sex with them, and still be straight. But I do consider sexuality to be a little bit more fluid than that. When you said he had sex with them, so are they fucking him or is he fucking them? Since you are here on a pegging website, I'm thinking the trans women are fucking him, but you weren't specific about that, so I don't really know. I do very much encourage you to let go of labels. Labels really do nothing but separate us. And what's most important is how you feel about all this. How do you feel about him fucking someone else? How do you feel about him wanting to bring someone else into your bed? And you need to figure out how you feel about him not being honest with you. That's a huge deal. You need to be with someone who you can trust. And if he was less than honest with you, that would be the very first thing I would want to talk about. Because honesty and good communication in relationships is so, so important. So that's kind of all the advice I have for you. And I hope everything works out fine. And I'm interested as to how you got to my website and decided to ask the question here. I am thinking that perhaps the trans women are fucking him. That's what I'm thinking. But I don't know. You sounded a little upset, understandably so. So I hope you two can work it out and have some fun. And whether that's with the trans women or not, that is totally up to you. Good luck to you. Okay, this was a very short email I got, and it was regarding FetLife. Are there a lot of women on FetLife who are interested in pegging, or does it tend to be mostly men looking for a partner? Okay, so compared to other places on the internet, on FetLife there are definitely more women who are interested in pegging, because there are women who will actually list it as something they enjoy, because FetLife is a fetish website. They have that option to list a fetish of pegging or strap-on sex. There are also many, many men who approach these women pretty obnoxiously for the most part because they have stated they're into pegging. These men typically treat the women like a fetish delivery service, ignoring that there is an actual person behind the strap-on. So if you're just going to go there to look for women to peg you, just don't. If you're going there to network with other people, male or female, who enjoy the same thing that you do, which would be pegging, apparently, and perhaps to find an open-minded, kinky partner who enjoys some of the things you do, that would be preferable. Other reasons to join FetLife can include perving on the videos, the pictures, checking out the writing, but pretty much finding groups of kinky people in your local area and finding groups of kinky people who are into the same things that you are. That is what FetLife exceeds at. Please resist the temptation to pull up your local area and send little come-on messages to all the women in your local area. The kink community is a little bit different. What you need to do if you are looking for women to peg you is to read the articles I wrote from a bunch of different perspectives about how to find a woman to peg you. And there's like six or seven of them. Again, I will once again post them all in my Linkorama because that's what I do. I like to make it easy for you people. And the thing is that if you're just looking for a pegging and you're not looking for a relationship, go to a pro because that's the best choice. Don't try and find a woman and use her as a fetish delivery service because that pisses us off. Okay? And good luck to you. I hope you find exactly what you are looking for. Okay, another email. Hey, Ruby, I hope everything is great. I'm sorry if this topic is one you are sick of answering. I called in a while back expressing sadness how my wife wouldn't indulge my cravings for anal play. I then called back stating how she had finally given it a shot. She massaged me with a gloved finger and gave me some light fucking with our dildo, which was held in her hand. Since then, this has not become as regular a part of our sex life as I'd like, but I'm ecstatic that it is at least an albeit very occasional treat for me. She is definitely much more comfortable with this now compared to the first 5 years of our marriage, during which the idea seemed to repulse her. But it certainly isn't her favorite act. From what I can tell, she has gotten over the question of the link between anal play and sexual orientation. She's gotten over the hygiene, because I always use an enema beforehand. And she likes seeing me moan and groan, and frankly, totally lose it, since I'm usually dominant, quiet, and reserved during penis and vagina sex. I'm really eager and wondering if it's even realistic to go from a bi-monthly handjob with some anal action, not that I don't love it and appreciate it, to a full-on strap-on-induced ass-fucking. Steve. Steve, so you are partway there, dude. I hear it. I hear the craving, and I get it. So the first suggestion that comes to my mind is equipment. That would be the question that I have. Have you gotten strap-on equipment? And if you do have the strap-on equipment, and that has been hanging around for a while, sort of waiting to see if she might want to use it someday, I would have a conversation where I sit down with her, not in the bedroom, not after sex, apart from all of that, and tell her how much you would love to experience pegging itself, and that even if she chooses never ever to do it, that you are loving the blowjobs and the anal action, but that you have this dream that someday she will peg you, and you wanted to offer her a kind of a compromise in terms of what's required of her. And here's what I mean by that. How about this scenario? How about she puts the strap-on on, and maybe even you're putting it on. Maybe you do this whole thing where you give her a massage first, and you satisfy her sexually, and then you put the strap-on on her, and you make sure it's adjusted just right, and then she lies back on the bed with a beautiful little pillow under her head, and you get to do all the work, dude. You get to ride her. She seems to find fascination in watching you lose it. This is a perfect position to watch that from, and she can also give you a hand job while you are riding her. So that sounds like way, way sexy, and maybe it would be something that would appeal to her a little bit more because she wouldn't have to, like, play the man quite so intensely, so to speak. I get this feeling that that's what's hitching her up there, is actually strapping on something that resembles a cock and fucking you like a man would fuck whoever. It seems like that's where she is having the hesitation. So perhaps if you suggest that she do it this way and tell her that you're going to do all the work, and there's not this like thrusting of the hips and all the things that she normally would connect with fucking, maybe that might appeal to her. But clearly a conversation needs to be had, and gratitude about what's happening right now is really, really important, and clearly you're very grateful for that. So that's awesome. And the other thing that I thought as well is to communicate with her that they have some awesome toys out there that might be able to give her orgasms, and that you might want to explore that possibility even for the cowboy position. Because if she's getting something out of it at the same time, that might really appeal to her. It doesn't appeal to all women. Some women really like to sort of concentrate on the job and get it done and really get into doing what they're doing when they're pegging a guy. And they're not all that interested in getting off while they're pegging you because they like getting off in different ways. So she might be like that, and if she is, that's fine too. But if it appeals to her, there's a whole selection of toys out there that can edge her closer to having as much pleasure as you might be having. So that is another suggestion I have. One of the things that I also suggest for couples who are in this stage of they've just started doing things and he's craving it and she is not so comfortable with the fact that he's craving it all the time. In other words, you would have it every night if you could, perhaps. And she's like, oh, Jesus, I just do this once in a while so that, you know, we can have a little fun with it and so that you're satisfied. Well, there's nothing wrong with being good, giving, and game. And the game part is, you know, trying everything within reason. And so she is trying to be giving and to satisfy your craving for this. But she also takes some enjoyment in it. So one of the things that helps in that situation is that you schedule it. And you mentioned that it's a bi-monthly thing. So bi-monthly can mean either twice a month or every other month. So I'm not really sure whether you're getting your happy time every other month or twice a month. Nonetheless, if one of those times could be the hand job and the dildo action, and the other time could be an actual you ride her, that would be a way cool thing. And if you know that it's going to happen ahead of time, then you can stop hoping it's going to happen every time you get in bed. She can stop hoping that you're not going to ask for it every time you get in bed. And I don't know if this dynamic exists between you two. It sounds as if you're just totally leaving it up to her. And yet, you're not satisfied with how often she decides that it is one of those nights. So asking for a schedule might be a really cool thing. And I've suggested this before, too, that you could make it a sexy thing. It's not like, okay, we're going to schedule it, and she's kind of going, oh, this is the night I have to do the thing, because she takes some enjoyment in it. She likes seeing you lose your shit. I really like that, too. Not with you, clearly, because I've never met you, sir, but I love watching men lose it when I fuck them. Anyway, it can be a sexy thing. You guys can text each other and you can say, I'm so looking forward to you fucking me. And she can say, I'm so going to fuck your ass tonight. You know, get creative with it and make it a fun, anticipatory thing so that you're all excited leading up to it and it becomes sexy times fun. So those are the suggestions that I have. It sounds like you are well on your way to getting fucked. And you also sound like you're a very patient man. So I want to give you kudos for that, because patience is a lovely thing to have in a situation like this. Clearly, it has gotten you as far as you are now. So excellent. Good luck to you, and let me know when I can play the music for you. Okay, here is another letter, and this is a long one, so settle in. Hey, Ruby, how are you? First of all, sorry for the long post in bad English, but I am not a native speaker. I really hope you will be able to read the email on one of your podcasts, because I really need to tell myself out while hope that someone finds himself, or at least partly, in this story and doesn't feel so bad as I do on the moments. Okay, I think what this person means is that they're feeling really bad and they're hoping that other people, when they hear this, can relate to it. Okay, going on with the letter. I am listening to your podcast for a couple of months now, and I finally got the courage to write you an email about the things that are going on around me. Before I spill the beans, I would like to announce that in the whole letter, there might not be many things to be proud of. Or in other words, I've done a few things wrong in my life for which I'm having quite mixed feelings. I'm currently a 26-year-old man working in a pharmaceutical company living with my girlfriend of my age, who I'm in relationship with for the past 5 years and a half. We're living in an apartment in the capital in one of the north countries of Europe. Well, let's go through my story by my timeline. Before my current girlfriend, I've been in an also long-term relationship with my ex, where we both lost our virginity to each other. After a few months of having regular sex, we started to explore. She was into corsets, so I bought her a purple corset with garter straps and black stockings for Christmas. She was very happy with it. After a while, we started to explore even more. At that time, I was 18 to 19 years of age, and we discovered a butterfly vibrator, which really gave her orgasms. And since she knew I had a stocking fetish and she was living with her mom, she went through her closet to find any new stockings to spice things up. But she ended up not only finding stockings, but also a vibrator. It was a very standard, nothing fancy vibrator. It was 7 inches long and about 1.25 inches in diameter. So she offered it to give it a try with me, but also insisted that we use a condom on it, which I gladly agreed on. She was really thrilled when I used it on her, either for clit stimulating or putting it in her mouth while penetrating her. But once after a while she was giving me a blowjob, she started to go with fingers towards my butt. She wasn't doing anything special, just circling around on the outside until she took it a step further and inserted a finger. It gave me a blast. Soon after, I experienced a very, very strong orgasm, probably the strongest I've had so far. After doing this a number of times, we noticed that the lube would be very useful for that kind of play. So we bought a Durex's silicone-based lube condom and used it for further finger butt play, which was just amazing and quite improved our sex life. But one time, after I tied her to the bed with cuffs, I grabbed a vibrator and went to her mouth so she was kissing it. And then I proceeded from her lips all down over her body towards her pussy. While I was with the vibrator in her panties, I was just trying to moisten the tip of the vibrator for her just before going into her panties. But as soon as my tongue touched the vibrator, she moaned very loudly. And then he writes this all in caps. Oh my God, it was turning her on. She was really turned on at that point, so I proceeded a bit before pleasuring her with the vibrator. So the play going on after, there came a moment when it was my turn to be strapped onto the bed, and at that point she also decided it would be a great idea to blindfold me with a scarf. Okay, sure, why not, I thought to myself. Well, nothing special followed to blindfolding me for only a minute or so. She was giving me a sensual blowjob while exploring with her fingers again. She started to massage my butt on the outside. She stopped for a moment, and I thought that she just went for the lube. Well, she didn't go for the lube. She also went for the vibrator, too, which was just on the top of her drawer. She started to penetrate me really slowly and gently, as she knew it was my first time. Oh my God, I think I had the hardest cock in my life. She continued giving me a blowjob while gently inserting and pulling out that vibrator. Let me just mention the fact that as soon as she turned on the vibrator, I really didn't need long to come. I can tell you that was one hell of an orgasm for me. After that night, we did it a few times more, on one or two occasions also, with her love balls. At least, I think that's the proper expression. But they were a bit too big for me at that time, and they quite hurt me while inserting. After a few weeks, we started to discuss about buying a strap-on dildo, since we were practicing anal mostly on me quite often. We started to check adult stores on web pages, but shortly afterwards, we broke up. The breakup was quite messy, and we distance ourselves from each other very much. We still don't have any contact today. Anyway, life goes on. I moved away from my family shortly afterwards to another city, where I started to meet a lot of new people. In that time, I also met two wonderful women with whom I'm still in touch, and they've become my really good friends, who, separately, of course, asked me during some sexual content conversations, directly without hesitating, if they can peg me. As much as I could have been shocked and also very frustrated about my pegging fetish, I've never actually admitted it to anyone besides my ex-girlfriend, nor spoke about it. I simply denied it, both times. You probably cannot imagine what a jerk I felt I was shortly afterwards. Anyway, life passed by. About a year after, I met my gorgeous girlfriend of 5.5 years now. Things were great in the beginning, the first year. We were having sex up to 3 or 4 times a day without a problem. But as soon as 1 year passed, we started to have it on a monthly basis. Yep, you've read it correctly. At age 21, I started to have sex 12 times a year, 13 to 14 times if I was lucky. She said it's enough for her. Anything further to discuss was impossible. She's really difficult to talk with about intimacy, you know. But other things are great. Everything else with her works more than superb. We have many common hobbies. We travel together, like similar movies and music, food, books, everything, except sex. She was never really into anything other than missionary position and cowgirl. There were about 5 times we used to have sex in doggy style, so you know, she's not into anything sexual, really. God forbid if I even mentioned to use a sex toy on her during intercourse. She's just somehow sexually frustrated, but doesn't even want to open up herself, so I'm just leaving things as they are. Because of the lack of sex, I was playing with myself a lot meanwhile. And once, when I was back home alone and started to feel horny, I wanted to spice things up. So I snuck into my mother's underwear drawer, please don't judge me because of that, to find stockings or any other sexy lingerie. I've got myself into a black garter belt and fishnet stockings, and just as I was trying to close the drawer, something got stuck so it was unable to close. I searched the drawer and found my mom's own sex toys. Oh my God, I was terrified and excited at the very same time. I was already fully hard as I got into my hands a magic wand. I quickly went for a condom and pulled it over and plugged it in. I just leaned the magic wand's head to my cock's tip and I started to feel really intense vibrations going through my body. Shortly afterwards, I reached climax. This was the fastest and first ever orgasm without using hands in my whole life. I really came buckets. I didn't even know I had that much sperm in me. I was quite shocked afterwards while rushing to clean the mess that I'd made. Oh God, that was really an intense orgasm, probably one of the strongest in my whole life. A bit of time passed by, maybe a week, when I was horny again and home alone. I went back to the drawer, but this time I was way more curious than the first time. I wanted to see everything, to touch everything, to try everything. So I started to try on lingerie. Black thongs felt really kinky, and beige stockings went with it 100%. How about a toy again? So I used another vibrator. Or to be honest, another 2 vibrators. I never knew my mom was so kinky. She even had anal beads in that drawer. Oh God, what did I get myself into? I quickly pulled rubbers over the first vibrator, which was very classic, silver, nothing special. While being so much more turned on, I just opened another condom and put it on my lips while inserting the second one, which was a silicone one and quite soft, into my mouth. I thought I was going to climax any second. I just put the regular silver one on minimum vibrating and slowly inserted it into my butt. Oh my God, that felt just really intense. I slowly proceeded with one hand to shove it in and slightly pull it out, doing it really gently, and I used tons of lube. It felt so good. I slowly grabbed the second one and started to kiss it all over until I started to suck it. I came really fast. And again, and once more, until I was really exhausted and needed some rest. And weeks after that, things were going on every now and then, until things started to complicate about 8 months ago. I met someone who's quite older than me, nearly 10 years. We started to see each other, and very soon we ended up in her bed. Since she is single, she had no obstacles, but I had to think about it at first. Later on, I decided that I was into it for a while, just to see how things would work, when I wouldn't have emotions to get attached to her. She decided the same. At this point, I am aware I'm having a mistress. So we're having fun for the past month, every 2 weeks, for a night, and that's it. But last weekend, something happened that just gave me a kick to write you a letter, Ruby. So we were laying naked on her bed, just chilling, after we had a blast of sex, and we just started to feel frisky again. I started to finger her slowly, and everything went well until she started to finger me. First, just circling around on the outside, then she penetrated me with a finger and proceeded into 2 fingers. Out of nothing. Never before even discussed about anal sex. Never. Nada. It felt so, great, awesome, intense, new, horny. It felt so good. I was amazed. I was like, where did this come from? I was just extraordinarily surprised about it. I never knew she was into kinky stuff. I knew she had love balls, but that didn't seem to me to be an indicator for being that kinky. We joked about sex toys in general a few times, but that's it. We never really discussed anything, not even her fetishes or mine. After that, we discussed just a tiny bit about what was going on. She was just asking me if I liked it, and with my moans, I could say that even a deaf person could at least hear them. For which I said yes. She also admitted afterwards she's into anal play on herself, so I played with her afterwards too. The things that night went quite intense, so we really had a lot of fun until the morning when we were unable to do anything else but fall asleep. Here comes the actual question for you, Ruby. I need a piece of advice here because I'm quite a bit lost. What should be the next move? Should I mention anything? Should I tell her I'm into butt play? Should I say out loud I'm curious about pegging? Or should I just shout I want to get pegged? I wasn't serious about the last one. Should I surprise her with any kind of sexy toys? Should I ask her for lube or offer her gloves for the next time? What should I do? How should I proceed here? I really don't know how to make a move from this situation. Sorry. And in case you do have suggestions based on sex toys, I'd be more than happy if you could link to them. And there's lots of X's and O's, and this is signed by Devlin. Devlin, wow, that is quite a letter. Thank you so much for writing in. First of all, let me say a few things. The first one that comes to mind is, and you didn't ask for any advice about this, but your current relationship that you have with your girlfriend, which, if I understand you correctly, you did not break it off with your current girlfriend of 5.5 years who you hardly ever have sex with, because you mentioned, now I have a mistress. So you are on the down low, as they say. You are having sex with someone else and not telling your girlfriend. So you didn't ask advice about this part of it, but I would encourage you to really take a good look at that relationship and decide if it's the one for you. You are really young. You are really full of hormones, which is absolutely and completely natural. You're very sexually explorative, which is totally healthy and awesome. And you are with a woman who says once a month is fine and won't talk to you about anything else. It sounds like you and she would be better off being just friends. You know, there are companionate relationships where there's an understanding where you get along really, really well with somebody and then you have sex with somebody else, but it's all above board. It is all known between the two of you. And a lot of times those relationships happen later in life, certainly not when someone is around 21. I know that it seems like you've been with her forever because, you know, 5 years, 5.5 years is a long, long time when you're 21. But if you stay with this person, you are in for nothing but frustration because your sex drives do not match. Your libidos are completely mismatched. And whether it is because she has had some kind of trauma and doesn't want to face it and doesn't want to talk about things, it really doesn't matter. I know it would be very difficult to walk away from that because so many other ways you get along so well, but take my word for it. There is someone out there for you who you get along with just as well, who wants to fuck you 2 or 3 times a day, or at least 2 or 3 times a week, and have all of the fun, kinky sex that you are looking for. So I'm going to put that right out there because, yes, I am fully supportive of you getting just as much sex as you want, honestly, with the partner that you've decided to be with. So I am so glad that you seem to have found someone else who has a sex drive more matching yours. That's awesome. And as far as the embarrassment of going through all your mom's stuff, yeah, you know, it's kind of squicky, it's kind of weird, but you were exploring, you were young. Forgive yourself for that and never fucking do it again. Buy your own sex toys. Don't give in to the temptation to mess with your mom's sex toys when she's not around. It's not okay. You can get clothing of your own to wear. You can get toys to play with for yourself. But don't use your mom's because that is a gross violation of her privacy. Not okay. Even if you're using condoms, just like, no, no, no. Not okay to go there. So, forgive yourself for that. Don't do it again. Now, with your current mistress, I think the way that I would approach it, since she clearly seems okay with doing some anal play, is informationally. And what I mean by that is you could say to her, hey, you know, we had so much fun the other night in bed, and we were doing some anal play, and I really enjoyed it, and I did some reading on the internet, and I found out that actually prostate play, that my prostate can be stimulated through my ass, and that's probably why it felt so good, and that actually prostate stimulation can be just as good as like when I do G-spot stimulation on you, and it can maybe even give me multiple orgasms, and I would love to explore that with you. Now, when you present this to her, don't do it like you have this horrible disease that you're confessing to. Try your very best not to be embarrassed, but instead to be excited about it and say, hey, I found out why it felt so good, and I want to explore this because this is like news to me and this is awesome. So would you like to explore this with me? Because I am so down. And maybe we can talk about toys, and maybe we can talk about where we want to go with this because I am so excited about it. So that's my first suggestion. The other suggestion is I'm kind of assuming because English is not your first language that English would not be her first language either, because I do have that podcast number 112, which I will link to, and that's a great one. But if she doesn't understand English, then that might be difficult. If she does understand English and you just want to introduce the concept of pegging and then have her listen to it, it's pretty much a slam dunk for most of the people who have listened to it. I'm not saying that every single woman who has listened to it has jumped on her partner and fucked him, but I am saying that I have had no fails. And what I mean by that is a woman who freaks out and says, you're way too kinky for me, I'm leaving you, forget it, I didn't know you were so perverted, whatever. I have had no fails like that with women who have listened to this podcast, because one of the things I emphasize so much is that telling each other your desires is actually really a gift of intimacy. Now, you two may not want to emphasize the whole intimacy part because you're kind of like fuck buddies, like friends with benefits, sort of. And it's awesome that you have this relationship and you have this opportunity to explore. So I don't mean to talk down about it at all. It's just to, you know, make sure you're putting it in the proper perspective. So those are two options. And in terms of shopping for toys, the first thing to do is to make sure she's on board with the idea. And the next thing to do is to listen to podcast number 102. Because there are so many choices with equipment and their personal choices. And you two need to make those choices together. Okay? She may have this vision of like this beautiful, non-realistic purple dildo. And you may have this vision of a completely realistic looking dildo. She may be thinking of a black leather harness. You may be thinking of like panty style and something that's not so imposing as black leather. See what I mean? There's so many different choices here. Keep in mind that your very first toy for the harness should be approximately 6.5 inches long and approximately 1.25 inches in diameter and no wider. Especially because the story from what you said before about how you tried other toys and it was really uncomfortable, you should start off with something that's 1.25 inches in diameter or maybe even 1 inch. And if she can put 2 fingers in you, then you're good for 1.25 inches. So those are the measurements that I would recommend. You didn't mention whether you're big-bodied or not, whether you are larger people. If she's a larger woman, then the Aslan leather minx harness is totally one of the best ones for bigger women, for lovely large ladies. I'm going to put a link to that, and I'll link to my favorite for the beginner's dildos, a couple of my favorites. One would be the Ergo Mini Blush Novelties. That is a dual-density one that's softer on the outside and has a rigid core on the inside. So if you're someone who likes soft things going in and out of you, and maybe you've never felt that before, if you're a little bit more sensitive, sometimes that can feel much better than a regular silicone dildo, having that soft surface. But the other question is the potential for her to get some pleasure too. So the other link I'm going to give you is the one to the Fuse toy, which has a spot for a little vibe to go in. And the base of that dildo will sit directly against her clit. So see, there's lots of things to talk about. I hope I've given you enough information for you to have a conversation with her at this point. I think the most important thing for you to remember is to be excited about it. Be enthusiastic. Continue that excited and enthusiastic, even if she says things like, well, does that make you gay? Just say, no, of course not. I love women. I've always loved women. I mean, if that's your reality, if your truth is you're bisexual, then clearly that's what you need to present as well. But what I'm saying is if she trips you up and does the usual misconceptions, you stay calm and you answer her honestly and truthfully. You know, does that mean you're gay? No, I'm not gay. I love women. I just want to explore this with you. Well, if I do this, are you going to go off and find a man? No, I don't like men. I like women. I want to be here with you. Is it going to be awful and dirty? No, not if I clean out right. And there's lots of information I found out about how to do that. You can send her to my website if you like. If she's kinky, you can send her to peggingparadise.com because you can tell that I have a fair amount of kink associated with the whole pegging information. But if you think she would react better to just pegging information without the kink, because clearly I am into BDSM as well, then you can send her to pegging101.com. And there's all kinds of information there for her to read about. You can also say, hey, there's this website and it's all about this thing that I want to do. So can, you know, we do sexy times. Can we like read one of the articles or something like that before we have sex or maybe when we go out to dinner or, you know, have some fun with it and make it like a couples thing that you do together. So there's some options for you. Please let me know when she fucks you because I have a feeling this is an inevitability with you, Devlin. I think that you have found the woman that is going to do this for you. And I'm so excited that you found a woman who's just as sexy as you are. Embrace your desires. And at some point in time, if you want to tell her that you really enjoy dressing up with the garters and the stockings and things, that's a whole nother conversation that would be lovely to share with her and see if she's up for it. Okay, good luck. Let me know when I can play the music for you. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. When the forum that has those spicy video clips. You can also find my work at pegging101.com, where you will find informational pegging articles only with no kink attached. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab also has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page in case you are curious to look at all of the stuff that I'm doing. If you order some sexy new toys from enticeme.com using the links on my blog, use the coupon code WRITER for 15% off your purchase. If you want to order some sexy new toys and you don't want to go to my blog, then go to enticeme.com/RubyWRITER and put in the name of the toy that you remember me talking about. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too far-fetched, too frivolous, or too fucked up. Many listeners are going to learn along with you if you send your question in. So don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everyone. You rock. Happy pegging.